Welcome to I Don't Get It, the Pop Culture Get Off My Lawn cast. This podcast, as you well know, features the open-minded musings of two late 40s curmudgeons staring down the prospect of entertainment relevance. I'm your co-host, Bill Scurry of American Caesar Enterprises, which is the nation's largest provider of pre-cracked iPhone screen glass surfaces.
Wait, you sell iPhones that the screens are already cracked?
No, we sell replacement glass that's already cracked.
Oh, I see. So yeah. if you're... What is the purpose of that? Is it that if you have an iPhone that isn't cracked and you want it cracked?
No, that's madness. You wouldn't replace the glass if it wasn't cracked with cracked glass. But you would replace cracked glass, though.
With what? More cracked glass?
Yeah, our product.
Why?
Oh, look, this is a fine product. You have to understand something. We back up every single purchase, yeah. My friend, with a guarantee, yeah. That you have a, yeah. It's assurance of quality. My great-great-grandfather was the first man to make iPhone glass back in 1951. We've been doing this for a long time.
That's your selling point. We've been doing it for a long time.
Yes.
There was that Onion article, iPhone to sell pre-cracked iPhones to to women in their 20s. Okay.
I don't know if I've really noticed this as a phenomenon. I mean, you know, that was a thing, you know, when people would take screen caps of their phones and or you'd see people in public.
Yeah.
It used to be really bad. And I think people have gotten better about taking care of their iPhones now to some degree.
I also think they're more shatter resistant. I mean, they make iPhones more durable over time. I used to have the bad habit that when I was on the train, whether it's the subway in New York or in the Muni here in San Francisco, I had the bad habit of like eavesdropping and looking over people's shoulders and seeing what they're looking at on their phones.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Absolutely.
It used to be more interesting because now I feel like it's always games or Instagram, right? It used to be like I'd see women, you know, on dating apps and I'd see people texting friends. And I don't know. Maybe it's just I don't look as much. I don't think I look as much for whatever reason. But I definitely saw a lot of cracked screens.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're right. Certainly coin of the realm.
Coin of the realm. Good phrase. Not often used in connection with iPhones. My name is Noah Tarno. I'm founder and senior quiz master of The Big Quiz Thing, the trivia game show Spectacular. Welcome to our show, friends. We took, 1 week off? That was 1 week, right?
That was 1 week, and we have another one coming up, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's been. And we're taking next week off as well. Lots of Bill's traveling. I'm doing political work. So things are happening, folks. 2024.
You're stumping, man. But you're barnstorming on the back of a train from city to city.
I'm on the back of a train. I'm hanging off the train with Harry Truman.
You got sleeve garters city to city. Straw hats.
Right. Exactly. Doing a front porch campaign, whatever. Chicken in every pot, friends. So I'm conflating races from the 1900s to the 1940s. It's all olden times. We on this show, speaking of old, we are old. So we look at things that are happening, going on in our pop culture, trends, memes, TV shows, movies, musicians, what have you. And we try to make sense of it. And we try to be fair, usually. But Bill, you suggested this topic to me. I'd never heard of this. It's a specific person.
Yeah.
Didn't we look at a specific person a few weeks ago and I've already forgotten?
Yeah, and it was met with a lot of stares or a lot of blank stares when we talked about Jacob Elordi like three episodes
ago. Thank you, Jacob. I've already forgotten about this guy.
Yeah, and I posted the episode and a lot of people, I got a lot of on social media, I got a lot of question marks because apparently as big as the guy is and, you know, he's in these sort of buzzy movies, people still like, who's that? Who's this again?
Right. Well, this topic, I had vaguely heard of Jacob Elordi and had seen some of his work.
Yeah.
This guy I literally had never heard of till you brought it up.
Yeah.
But for a few weeks now, you've been saying we need to look at this guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, Bill, you didn't really have to twist my arm, but I do think this is slightly left field. But this is a bit of a passion project for you, huh?
Yeah.
Looking at one Griffin Newman. Bill, tell us about not Gary Newman.
Yeah.
But Griffin Newman.
I don't know how obsessive this guy is with his Google alerts. There's not articles written about this guy.
There are no think pieces about him, New Yorker profiles.
Exactly.
He's not on the cover of Rolling Stone.
I wouldn't be surprised if he's got a Google alert set about himself. And also there's a chance that if he saw a podcast devoted to him as a critical apparatus, he might actually listen to it. So, you know, I don't know.
So, really?
I don't know.
So we need to be nice.
Well, right. Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to be nice to him. I'm just going to talk about his.
You're not going to not be not nice to him?
Yeah, anyway, just putting out there's a caveat.
A dick caveat tonight.
Griffin Newman is, as you've already learned because you've downloaded this and you've seen the thumbnail image, Griffin Newman is a young man, an American actor born 19.
He's not that young. He's like 32.
It was in 1989, I think he was born.
Yeah, 30, he'll be 35 this year.
Yeah, exactly. Younger than us, put it that way.
Everyone younger than us is young. I was talking, speaking of politics, the really good Democratic likely nominee for Senate in Arizona, this guy Ruben Gallego, and I was talking about, oh, he's young, but he's like 45.
Yeah, I know. He's just new.
Which I guess in politics is young, but still it's, you know.
Compared to Angus Scrimm, exactly. So yeah, Griffin Newman is an actor and comedian. He's best known, I suppose, his biggest role so far was Arthur in the Amazon Studios Tick streaming series that ran for one season a couple of years back.
Two seasons.
Oh, it was two? Okay, I didn't watch any of them, so I'll take your word
seasons. For it. To prepare for this episode, I watched one episode and I got to tell you, Bill, I used to love the Tick. I loved the cartoon.
The cartoon was great.
Some of the comic. Yeah. And that show, I think I was dimly aware was happening and went over my head. And that was, I did not think it was good. Too slow and dull to be worthy of the Tick brand.
That was the streaming curse. Like, you know, Amazon was getting TV and they thought it was going to be a home run, but then they butchered it. That's just the way it works.
I mean, the Tick sitcom in the 90s or whatever was funnier.
With Patrick Warburton, which, looked like that too fell down a hole, but it was actually funny. You're right.
Yeah.
So he's also the voice of Orko, the tiny wizard in the Netflix animated series Masters of the Universe Revelation, and Revolution, the one that just came out recently.
There's Revelation and Revolution?
Yeah, there was a six-parter that came out called Revolution that dropped, I think, about 3 or 4 weeks ago.
They're separate shows.
Well, yeah, but they're a chain. They're in the same continuity. They're
made by the same people.
Kevin Smith. Kevin Smith.
Griffin Newman plays Orko in both. He doesn't play Orko in one and Ram Man in the other.
Correct. Is the co-host of Blank Check with Griffin and David, which is a crazy popular podcast. I mean, the TV show might have been his biggest thing, but I think his enduring fame at the moment comes as a podcast host of this sort of inside baseball, very popular podcast. It's been going on for a while. Blank Check. The concept is what they do is they have a tourney bracket and they kind of pick a whole year of directors. And what they do is they devote an episode to each film in a director's oeuvre. If a director is sort of like, Robert Altman, or they're doing John McTiernan right now, for instance. Guy did
Predator. Are you serious? Because I listened to a couple episodes and I did not get that at all. I just thought it was guys talking.
No, and so each podcast, they pick a director.
I didn't pick up on that theme at all. Well, it was never explained.
That is
the three episodes I listened to.
Anyway, that's not the point. Yeah, Griffin is still getting David.
No, it is the point, because this is what I'm going to get into is like, you said inside baseball. They don't frame it for anyone. You have to be an insider to know what the hell's going on.
I mean, that's podcast, though. You know, I talk about...
Unfortunately, yeah. Well, no, it's not. We explain every episode. We explain this.
Good podcasts, I don't think, do that. A lot of them don't. You know the way it is.
Yeah, but let's have some fucking standards in our society.
You're stepping onto a moving train in a lot of cases. But he's also somewhat known for playing Watto, the Toydarian junk dealer from Phantom Menace, on a live stage show that's been ongoing for a good number of years now called the George Lucas Talk Show, which is an Upright Citizens Brigade located project, real nerd.
He's
show.
A member of the UCB Cool Kids Club.
If you needed
folks
to know, that's right, exactly.
That very much did not want your lovely co-host here.
He's the son of film producer Peter Newman, who's got some credits, not necessarily known for a lot of world beaters, but he was in the business. His mom is this French actress turned casting director named Antonia Dauphin. He was raised in Greenwich Village. He attended the elite feeder system, St. Anne's School, which is sort of an academy of excellence in Brooklyn.
I have a good friend who went to St. Anne's.
Take a look at their alumni, because it's all the Lena Dunhams of the world came out of there. It's a real...
Lena Dunham went to St. Anne's?
Yeah, believe me. It is a feeder system of...
It's a good school.
It's bourgeois school. White privilege for sure. And there's obviously some black kids there.
There's a lot of Jews there too.
Okay. Well, they became white in the eyes of society. You know,
in Brooklyn, Brooklyn they count as white.
Yeah. He was interested in performing from an early age.
He went to Bucks Rock Camp in Connecticut.
I'm just saying, it's coming around.
Of which I am an alum and a proud alum, to tell you the truth.
Yeah. So. He started performing at an early age. He was ginning up stand-up segments with his family in the living room at the age of 10 years old. He wanted to do some performance on stage. He began getting attention from agents at this time. Although his parents apparently reportedly were reluctant for him to do so, just because they knew how consuming the and disappointing a career as an actor could be. Because again, both of his parents were in the business, just to reiterate that. So as a teenager, like Noah said, he attended Bucks Rock, which is a performing arts camp. What was it, Pennsylvania, Jersey? I forget where this was.
Connecticut, and it's more than performing arts. It's more visual art than performing arts.
Very
it's
nice. Both. Everyone's impressed.
It's so. A fucking great place.
I'm sure it is. If you could afford it,
you,
I'm sure
you pissed on it. There was an article about it in the New York Times not long ago, and Bill's like, "This sounds like this kid sucks," but it was a big influence on who I am, and I'm very proud of it, and very fortunate to have gone there.
So he went to
Griffin school. Newman, notwithstanding.
He went to school. CalArts started in 2007. He wanted to become a filmmaker, but he dropped out after 7 months. CalArts, by the way. Another incredibly elite program. Most of your Pixars and your the Illumination Studios.
Feeder system to Disney and the
world. All of American animation these days has come through CalArts. It's a very specific program, and in order to be accepted at those places, not that he was going into animation, but CalArts is sort of the all roads go through CalArts to get to animation at a high level in Hollywood. Just to give you an idea of what the CalArts deal is. I did bring this up. And, you know, I have listened to many hours of the podcast this guy's put out. I've been aware of him peripherally as a dude for a little while. We are one way or another kind of like on the outskirts of UCB culture, that we were proximal to it.
I was on the outskirts and I tried to get in. And I didn't.
I was a bleacher creature.
I don't think about it often, but when I do, there is a little bitterness. But go ahead.
Yeah. Anyway, so like, what did you look at and what was your impression of Griffin Newman?
He's okay. There's nothing special about this guy. You know, I already said I didn't, you know, I liked The Tick a lot years ago and I kind of forgot about it. And so when this series happened, I just didn't pay it any mind. And I'm like, oh, I should watch this anyway. And I watched the first episode and a lot of it was like, he had to carry it. He plays Arthur, the Tick sidekick, and he doesn't carry it. There's nothing special about this guy. And I watched some of his stand-up, and again, like, it wasn't terrible, but it was just mediocre. It was trying to run a lot on just, I'm wild, and more that than the content. And that generally, I think, is not a recipe for success. I mean, it might get you attention, but it's not a recipe for quality. I listened to a couple episodes of Blank Check, or pieces of them, they're very long, and a couple brief clips from other podcasts. He's been a host on 1,000 other podcasts, and they're all kind of a similar ilk. They're not great. They're way too long. We've talked about this every time we talk about an influencer and trying to make sense of influencer culture, which everyone over the age of, 25 or 30 does not understand. But I've often said that you gotta look at influencers this way. It's like you're hanging out with friends, just sitting around shooting the shit in your parents' basement. I do think it's somewhat toxic that we've replaced this very casual friendship relationship to one with celebrities. So when Newman and this guy, David, what's his name? What's his last name?
Who's Sims, this guy? David Sims.
David Sims. When they talk 2.5 hours about the Joker movie, it just feels very much like this is the kind of conversation you should be having with your friends. And to listen to famous, rich, successful people, whatever, have this conversation is kind of sad and takes something away from, real living, I think. I find podcasts in general, a lot of them are just people talking inside baseball about something. And I generally don't like that style of podcast. There's one exception, these two guys who talk about, these stoners who talk about pro wrestling, and I like them. I like them. But I think a podcast needs a structure. It needs to welcome new people. It needs to welcome people who are new to the topic. And that's something we try to do, I think. What I did like, the only things I really liked is, and I don't know where this came from, but there were a couple of videos online that were like 10-minute adaptations of Blank Check episodes where they like, there was one I really liked where they talked about Tim Burton got his start doing Pee-wee's Big Adventure. Yeah. And it was 10 minutes long. It had some graphics and some animation. And it was solid. It was full of information. It was a lot of research. It was intelligently, framed and structured. It was a good little video on the basics about Tim Burton and Paul Rubens. who I'm a huge fan of Paul Reubens and Pee Wee Herman. So, you know, it was solid. It was good. My only big criticism of that, and this is a criticism of every time, other than playing Orko, is Newman talks way too fast. He swallows a lot of words. He's one of the fastest talkers I've ever heard. And I'm like, be a professional, man. Like, you know, enunciate. I'm recalling a guy in college. I had this radio show for a while. It was right before like the afternoon news. So when I would be done, the news guys would take over. And there was this guy who was running the news. He talks so fucking fast. And I want to go like, you're talking, you're reading the news. And like, no one can understand. Every time you say a proper name, that is over there. And I'm like, whoa, slow down. You are undercutting the very purpose of what you're trying to say. That's a nitpick. Also, it might be a self nitpick because sometimes I talk too fast. But yeah, you mentioned it. There are no think pieces about this guy. You Google him. It's just video clips or interviews. I don't think this guy is special in any way. He's not terrible. I mean, he doesn't seem toxic. He just seems like one more piece of the entertainment machine that, you know, is not worth getting excited about.
You know, I tell you what I'm getting a strong Ben Platt, John Mulaney vibes in some cases.
Oh, but Ben Platt's way more talented than this guy. And John Mulaney stand up, say what you want about it, but it has craft and structure.
Nonetheless,
that none of these podcasts have. There's no structure to these podcasts.
Allow me to specify. What I mean is in terms of the level of self-regard that I think we're seeing from these people. Let me sort of preface this by saying the art is one thing. I think Griffin Newman has an art. I think he could do things very well. There is a lane that he's in. What I feel like animates me is this idea that he's somebody who wanted to become famous. I think he wanted to be good at something, but I also think he wanted to be famous. Oh. This is just my hunch.
He's a Nepo baby. He probably thought it was his birthright, right?
Yeah, you know, there's this idea, the theater kid who's sort of filled with self-regard, and in the case of John Mulaney, this seems to be obvious, that John Mulaney thinks we should like him as much as his parents do. You know, and I think Ben Platt was that same idea. Oh,
every little boy feels that way. Come on.
I think that the Ben Platt was the same thing where, in fact, you know, his dad was the head of Universal. And it's like he liked his son so much and thought he was so talented that he was going to make sure that we had a lot of his son because he was such a special boy. And, you know, there's one thing about being good at a podcast. Here's the thing. This is where the fearful symmetry comes in, because I when he gets to talking, His argot is the clipped speech of somebody like a Swifty Lazar, somebody who's sort of an inside, a wonk about movie. Yeah. You know, that's their whole thing. You're listening to these guys and they're talking like they're old salts. They speak in daily, what is it, Variety or Daily Hollywood Reporter, or Daily Variety.
Very insidery.
Yeah, and you know,
The geek sector of the business. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's there's a lot of analysis. There's a lot of hermeneutics about this kind of thing. I think that this is what I do, too. And that's my, you know, you could say, why does it animate me? It was like, well, I am in no way, shape or form a professional podcaster, even though I do a lot of podcasting in my life. You know, anybody asks me to do something, I will bone up on a topic. If I'm not already a sort of expert on it, I'll have an opinion on some things, but I spent a lot of time talking about movies for sure. Right. I am in.
And you know a lot about movies. You have an expertise.
Yeah, I watch a lot of movies. And that's when I listen to Blank Check, I'm talking to people in kind, and there's an in-kind recognition of it's like, this is what I do. You know, I live in the, I study IMDb. I study a lot of movies. I write reviews prodigiously. I watch, you know, something like 400 movies a year at least. And, you know, I put a lot of time and effort into this. I mean, it is for me, you know, something that it animates my professional, my personal life. It's, I think there's not necessarily an art in watching films, but it's an avocation for me to do this. And then to talk about them is kind of like, you know, I do it for me and have a conversation with my friends primarily. And if other people listen to it, that's great. But I don't do it for approbation. You know, and it's like, this is where me and Griffin, I think, kind of like split a little bit, because I think he there's this sort of semi-ubiquity where between playing Watto, the flying lizard character from Phantom Menace, where he puts on a blue body
suit. The slave owner, right?
The slave owner, yeah.
Anakin slaver.
Yeah. Yes. He puts on a blue body stocking and he wears a metal plate on his head. He wears a fake like trunk and he does the voice. And he's played this character for probably a decade on this live stage show
The George Lucas sketch.
Really? Things I don't... The worlds that are hidden to me. It's amazing.
So, yeah, you know, and it's like he managed to talk himself into the Orko job just because he's this tiny little, you know, precocious Jewish dude who's fast-talking and wiry. And it's like he played Arthur, the sort of audience surrogate, the tick. And I think he sort of like managed to bend Kevin Smith's arm to say, it's like, come on, I'd be perfect for this. You know, my voices are, I'm ready to go. And here's really where it comes down to is that in the last 2 weeks, Marvel has put out a couple of announcements about their next gigantic feature film. Peg is the Fantastic Four with Pedro Pascal is going to be Mr. Fantastic, et cetera, et cetera. It's the, you know,
who's going to be the Thing?
Who's going to be the Thing is the guy from the Beast, Noah,
Beauty and the Beast TV
Noah Moss Backrack. That's his name. Noah Moss Backrack or Adam Moss. I forget what his last name is. His last name is
Adam Moss Backrack.
That's it.
Noah Centineo.
No, he's Adam. Noah Moss Backrack. He's a really good actor. I mean,
they replaced Michael Chiklis for shame.
Yeah. And, the other guy, Billy Elliot was the one in the Miles Teller version, which less said about that, the better.
I've literally seen none of the Fantastic Four.
That's fine. Okay. So there was a campaign. They said that the little robot from the 1960s cartoon Herbie is going to be featured as a character in this one. And so,
really?
Yeah. Probably they're going to do a CGI character. Oh. So the thing is, that day, Griffin Newman
put. But they didn't replace the Human Torch.
It's going to be plus that.
It's going to be the Fantastic Five.
So the thing is, Griffin Newman on Twitter that day said, I want to voice this. Like, he, in so many words, I want to voice, like, Marvel, can we make this happen? And I just felt like, no. You have already talked so many people into you as a brand. You've already got Orko. And it's like, you're not the singular creator.
Orko.
You're the singular creator that is like, you've had enough. We have enough Griffin Newman between the podcast and the talk shows and the bits and pieces. And he shows up on so many ancillary video products. Like, there's this guy, Patrick Williams, who, again, is in this movie space. And he shows up in Patrick Williams' Muppets video that came out like last week. And I'm like, why is he the default expert on these things? I don't understand why they like, it's like lacking a better authoritative presence on something. You bring in this guy as if he's the, you know, he's the expert guy you bring on to talk about the election on CNN, you know? And I just feel like it's outsized to his level of ability and his ambition and his fame. And it's like,
he's not bad, but he's nothing special.
I think that his particular fame has been overserved, and I have an issue with that.
There are weird instances too of like life imitating art or art imitating life.
Why is Griffin Newman the go-to guy for all this stuff? Why is he ubiquitous? Why is he everywhere? And by the way, one thing I didn't say is reading his Wikipedia page, the first thing I did, because like I said, I hadn't heard of this guy. It was project after project after project with people from UCB, from people from NYU. He just, all these like live on, you know, the world that I was more in when I was doing stand-up and improv in New York, and then when I was working for Time Out New York, I was at least aware of all this stuff, and I've since left it behind. But he has been involved in, his Wikipedia page is shockingly long. He's been involved in a lot of projects. So why is he the go-to guy for everything from shitty stage shows and black box theaters in New York to Netflix and Amazon series?
Well, I think that, you know, to tangent off what you say, I think he's good in a room. There's obviously the part that he's part of a sort of backslapping clique of guys who have, and I do say guys because it's mostly guys, that UCB mafia, for lack of a better term, has really peopled a lot of show business in really insidious ways. Now, it's not that these guys,
insidious. Okay. Insidious.
I think to the exclusion of other people from other feeder systems. And now the idea that it's either Groundlings, it's Second City, or UCB are these three. Most of your comedy, I'd say 30% of your comedy comes from these three places. And people who get into, you know, you get into your big sketch shows, people who are in writers' rooms, they're coming out of these very traditional, you know, if you're not part of those systems, then you don't.
But hasn't it always been that? I mean, 30 years ago, it was Groundlings, Second City, and the Harvard, whatever that thing is.
Tasty Pudding or
National
whatever.
Lampoon.
National Lampoon.
What's?
Yeah, right.
I mean, it's all, there's always been a system. Where do you think Lorne Michaels went to find SNL people? It's always been a couple theaters.
But now it's like, you know, you
had. And now it's a couple theaters plus YouTube.
You had at one point. Yeah, no, but it's like there was, you know, myopically, I was trying to play this game for a while when I was making videos. In from 2010 to about 2020 or so. And I realized that it's like, oh, I'm, you know, I mean, I'm 10 years older than all these people. It was my second, essentially my second life was trying to become a, you know, filmmaker, adjunct to comedy. But it's like, I wasn't good. But the thing is, there was no way, even at my level, how good I could be, there was no way I could get anywhere near the echelon these kids were having. The access they had coming out of this elite feeder system. And, you know, if you could get in, look, a lot of people go through UCB and they take classes and they're not famous. And then a lot of people, you know, it becomes the next ruling class of comedy. If you're inside the right rooms and you do the right podcasts and you go out to Los Angeles and you do a comedy night at, what is it, Largo at the Cornet, and you have all the right friends and, you know, Paul F. Tompkins, and you know, you wind up becoming part of this hermetic system. And it's like, oh, yeah. Congratulations, you're going to be in a Jack Black movie soon. You know what I mean?
I guess, but can't we argue that can we get over our bitterness and argue that at least a lot of these people earned it, worked their way in,
sure,
did the work to get in?
I'm describing.
This is what I meant. I said I didn't play the game and I wasn't that talented. I'm pissed that UCB didn't let me in, but I understand. And I made my own things.
But so, look, there's something in particular, the mold of a Griffin Newman, I think is exactly the shape, you know, the guy who comes from, you know, he's born at Greenwich Village. He went through all these places. He was in the right place at the right time for all these places. You know, I don't know. Is it wrong to say he was born on first base or second base? I don't know how much of an advantage that his childhood.
I think when your parents are in show business, it's a huge advantage. I've said this many times. If my parents had been anywhere relating to acting or comedy, I would be doing that now.
Yeah.
I'm serious.
I think you're probably right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So there's something about this. He's sort of a tiny, fast talking, non-threatening physically, a little Jewish nerd from New York City. You know,
he's probably Jewish.
He's highly Jewish. Yeah, he's steeped in Judaism.
Griffin's not a big Jewish name.
Don't worry, he's Jewish. Believe me.
Don't worry.
Trust me on this one. You know, the thing is, it's like everything about him appears to be insofar. Look, I'm thousands of miles away. I'm across the Atlantic Ocean. I'm sitting in Holland watching all my, you know, the culture, the seat of my culture is still either Manhattan or Los Angeles. And I sort of feel like he is the kind of guy who gets into all these, you know, guys like Elliot Kalin. You know, it's like those are the guys I look and Elliot Kalin's great. You know, he was the former head writer of The Daily Show. He's a podcaster as well. Does a podcast called The Flophouse. I've met him a bunch of times.
Yeah. No, he's not bad. I met him once.
He
earned it.
He really earned it. But it's like Griffin Newman and Elliot Kalin are the same guy. They're the same guy. You know, they're exactly the mold of who gets into the business. You know, that's like it essentially creates this idea that your podcast famous, you know, not like real life famous, but your podcast famous, you know.
Well, but then he ends up on the Tick and He-Man. He's verging on real famous, right?
Well, that's the thing. I think he did those things before. You know, the acting worked out okay, and he'll get other acting roles. He was in a Woody Allen movie, as you saw probably, that he kind of like walked it back. He had this
as they all need to do.
Yeah, contrition. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, I mean, look, the podcast is good, Ben. I like his podcast. You know, it's like the question is how it turned into a self-promotion cannon, a factory that shoots him out into the world is kind of beyond me. If I knew that, I would have turned this podcast or Film 89 or Wrong Reel into a self-promotion factory if I only knew how to do so.
You know, the first thing I wrote in my notes under why, I was like, I don't know, Bill, you tell me. Look, he's a Nepo baby. Go back to our Nepo Baby episode. Those people have a leg up. Hollywood show business, sir. We know the name, so we're going to put them in. You know what I was thinking about the other day? And I'm glad we don't see this as much anymore. Do you remember when every movie poster was just the faces of the stars?
It's worse than that now. It's as bad as it's ever been now, man.
Really?
Look at the Dune. Look at the Dune 2 poster.
Why is he in all this stuff? Because the podcast is popular, so why take a chance on someone new? I mean, you know, we talk a lot of friend of the show, Kevin Marr, who's as talented as anyone we know and had all these great ideas, and he tried selling them to people and he couldn't sell them because they were all contingent upon his personality. And people liked the ideas, but they wanted a household name involved. You know, when I pitched my show to Comedy Central, and the sticking point was like, well, no one knows who the fuck you are, you know? So
that's why Nikki Glaser is famous today, and Kevin and Nick wrote for Nikki Glaser, and they're not famous, but she is. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's sort of the way it works. But it's like, how do you break in? Well, you break in because you're already in, you know, or you found that one little thing. And Griffin Newman, the podcast caught on. You know, I mean, media wasn't paying attention to podcasts, and they were all catch on with Legions of Geeks, and then of course the Nepo Baby thing. I also think that I say there's not much to him, but he does have something that has a lot of value these days. He is sort of emblematic of this nerdy, geeky, wimpy, not traditionally masculine, but not gay guy. I mean, for all I know, he is gay. I didn't read anything about it. But like, he doesn't come off as, you know, the traditional, as people used to say, faggy kind of thing, right? He doesn't have any of those typical masculine, you know, stereotypical masculine signifiers. And people relate to that. You know, the armies of geeks relate to that. Like I said, the influencer thing, you love just sitting around hanging with your friends. The fact that it's inside baseball appeals to a lot of these people who live online and need to touch grass and think the machinations behind the scene to get the next DC or Marvel movie out are earth-shaking developments, you know, on par with, you know, climate collapse, right? So he's emblematic of these guys. He's well-informed. I mean, he has that. He doesn't... I listen to some podcasts where it's guys sitting around and they're wrong about every other topic. I mean, frankly, people could accuse us of that sometimes. And I remember a reaction a kid gave to our Fortnite episode. We're like, these guys don't know what they're talking about. And he was probably right. He's good at this thing, which we don't like, which we might find tiresome, which most people don't like, but there's a solid core of people who really relate to this, feel this. This is them. This is who they are. This speaks to them. And it speaks to them, you know, at least in their realm of understanding, in an intelligent, coherent, educated, informative way.
Do you know Electro's origin in Amazing Spider-Man 2?
No.
Can I tell you this quickly?
Sure.
Noah, would you have liked Griffin Newman when you were a kid? You were Griffin. Oh, you were Griffin Newman as a kid. I should specify.
Not quite. No, I would have related to him because I was that guy. I was that wimpy, not traditionally masculine guy. You know, wanting to be the, you know, polymath about geek culture. I mean, geek culture had a lot less clout when we were kids, so it's almost impossible.
It was a detriment. Less clout is putting it mildly, by the way.
So yeah, I would have related to him. I would have wanted to be him. I'm like, this is the guy I'm going to be, the nerd who doesn't feel the need to pretend he's a tough guy and could just spout off about the geek stuff and could just sit around and talk about stuff. And be considered an authority because of that and get these funds. I would have loved to be in the Tick. I would have loved to be Orko's voice, you know? I mean, yeah, I would have loved this guy. Thought this guy was great.
I don't think I don't know how I could have liked this, to be fair. I mean, the thing is, I think it's obvious that this tangent's over for me to the jealousy topic, which we'll get to in depth. But the idea is that he owns every single nerd lane I wanted for myself.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
You know what I mean? I think
you overstate it, but okay.
I think I would have understood the language that he speaks. The thing is that I would have had such a resentfulness over his, what, I mean, you know, what the reason we're talking about, it's a stickiness. The idea that he's sort of attached himself like flypaper to all these various projects. It's kind of like hard to get away. And as a kid, as a younger person, I don't know if I would have been able to appreciate the art the way I do. I mean, Christ forbid the guys listening to this. You know, I nothing personal. Honestly, it's the
he's gotten far enough. He must have some thick skin.
I hope so, but maybe not. You know, some people don't. But it's like I'm not at all pillaring a human being named Griffin Newman. It's the job of Griffin Newman is what I'm talking about. And somebody, and so, you know, the Wicker Man that I'm burning inside of.
I think it's a Swedish girl group. They just charted in Europe.
We passed on a month ago. Atlantic UK just signed them.
Abba. Music's garbage, but I'd fuck the blonde.
Bill, is the rise and success and, according to you, ubiquity of Griffin Newman in any way a sign of the end times doom era for humanity?
Well, this is where I can get over myself and say that, you know, the phenomenon can, really? And the size of what we're talking about, this is, I don't know if I said this actual phrase, he's podcast famous. You know, and it's like, believe me, if I could somehow on my deathbed, my great grandchildren could say, Grandpa, you were podcast famous, then I could just close my eyes and slip off into that, you know, the veil of tears. I'd be happy about that.
You can die happily if you're podcast.
Yeah, just let it flatline. I'm surrounded like 6 feet under, all the people around me genuflecting at my cold body as I lose tonus on a bed. So yeah, it's like, I think my agitation is with the level of the size of his phenomenon. I mean, look, this is, it almost seems like this is why we have podcasts in the first place, is to create people who are podcast famous, or at least podcast fame like, you know, makes more podcasts to some degree. Like, that's one element of it. It's so balkanized that even, like, the size of Griffin Newman's shadow, the sort of spotlight he's in, I'm making it sound bigger than it is, obviously. It's a tiny phenomenon. It's just, it takes up a lot of space in my life and the stuff that I look at. He seems to be outsized. Maybe I should have prefaced by saying that.
Like I said, I listen to very few podcasts like this. Most of the podcasts I listen to are gatekept. They're from actual production companies and journalistic entities, and some of them are full of excellent research. And some of them are, yeah, probably just jerk-offs who got lucky and they get sponsorship, but they do real work. Lately, I've been getting into this podcast. You ever listen to Behind the Bastards? It's just they focus on horrible people through history. You know, everyone from, you know, mass murderers to, I'm listening to an episode now about John Landis, and they talk about the Twilight Zone movie. And they make an argument that John Landis is a bad guy. John Landis is a director. He did Animal House. He did Blues Brothers. He did Trading Places. And he directed a Twilight Zone movie in the 80s that cut some corners in terms of safety, and it led to the deaths of three actors. And he actually was on trial for it. He didn't go to jail. Anyway, the point is, it's freewheeling, but these people do research. And they're organized, and they don't ramble. So, Bill, I think you are defining podcasts as one little sector of podcasting.
There's definitely a lot of that's my point. Yes, exactly.
Informed, professionally done stuff out there. And look, I'm not saying our podcast is one of those things. We're just jerking around here. But, you know, I like to think we're better than a lot of the jerking around. We try to keep things at least somewhat succinct and try to, you know, not be opaque to people who aren't already familiar with the topic. That's the whole point. We're not familiar with the topic. Anyway, so I don't know if that's relevant to Apocalypse. I'm going to say this is not apocalyptic in any way. Because A, I think there's so much worse out there. Yeah, this guy might be annoying or he might talk too fast, but he's not going to be on Behind the Bat. I mean, I don't know, maybe we'll discover tomorrow that he, you know, burned a church full of nuns to the ground. I don't know.
He did? But
as far as...
Well, I didn't see that, really? Oh my God.
I said maybe we'll discover, maybe. Never mind. I'm sorry. Stranger things have happened. I mean, there's so much more worse. He's not going to be on Behind the Bastards. There's so much worse out there. So whatever. He's easy to ignore. I've ignored him, right?
You're absolutely right. And I mean, that perhaps we should have led by saying he's easy to ignore. Just as I am. He's easy to
ignore, which
I
is too, a good thing.
I am very easy to ignore as well. As game respects
incredibly game. Easy to ignore. If there's one thing that my career has taught me. That's not true. Look, I'm also going to say this. I talked about the masculinity thing, and I've said on the show, I had a lot of issues growing up with my own masculinity, you know, am I a real man and all that. And like, because I was sensitive and dramatic and not an athlete and small and all that. And I'm going to say this is the opposite of the apocalypse, that the more, you know, the fact that geeks took over entertainment and a guy like Griffin Newman can be successful. And, you know, you see the right wing pushing back on this in very toxic, offensive and frankly pathetic ways. This idea that a guy like Griffin, you know, calling people soy boys and stuff. I think the more someone like Griffin Newman attains success and clout and power, the more we push back on these ideas that men or even people are supposed to be some prescribed way.
Yeah, those liver-eating weirdos we talked about.
Right, and he's not even that different. I mean, again, a ton of people are like him, but just that you don't have to be an influential guy. You don't have to be one type of guy. Now, whatever, he's a type of guy that has become influential. So maybe, you know, it's just going to set up its own gates around it. But, you know, when I felt that when I couldn't get into the UCB club, but I don't know. I just feel like he's pushing back on some traditional things that really didn't serve us as well as people continue to think they served us, and people bemoan that they're fading away, but I'm glad they're fading away. And maybe the success of a guy like Griffin Newman attests to the fact that they're fading away.
Look, Lynn, I'm doing it, me. Orko, you have to hold on.
Teela, it's okay, I'm not afraid.
No, let's bring this on to our last two segments. What about jealousy? Jalousy, as they say in Dutch, yeah. Which means the window treatments.
I am incredibly jealous of this guy. I did stand, you know, while I was trying to get in to, you know, get noticed for doing improv at the Upright Citizens Brigade, I was also doing stand-up. And I never got very far. I had my moments. I had my good nights, people would say, you have potential. But my good nights weren't frequent enough. My act rested on a lot of what I think Newman's act rests on, which is less about the material itself and more about the energy. Like, I saw him do a bit where he starts screaming and ranting. And if you read it on the page, it wouldn't be funny at all, but it's the way he does it. It's the passion. It's the energy. And he did well, and he got some laughs. It wasn't a great thing, but it wasn't terrible. And that's what I wanted. I wanted to be to stir up so much energy that people couldn't look away and had to take notice.
Hey, when you were dressed as Spider-Man, that Spider-Man that night, you were shooting silly string at the audience. That was pretty impressive.
Yeah, I mean, that's sort of the idea, right? And it's just, it didn't click that way. And, you know, maybe I just didn't have the talent. I will accept that. You know, does Griffin Newman have the talent? Maybe more than me. I mean, he certainly seems to play the game better than me. You know, I wanted to be, I would have loved to do something like his podcast, just be a dork blasting my opinions with literal effort. I mean, we're doing this podcast,
Yeah. But
we don't have the legions of fans and attention and, you know, agents that he has.
And remuneration.
So I'm jealous of that. Right. I've made my way in some form of the entertainment business, but I sweated hard for that. And I'm not going to say he didn't do work, but, you know, the Nepo Baby thing must have helped. That long Wikipedia page, which attests to, you know, being invited to all these, if not awesome projects, at least people, you know, wanting to hear what he has to say and wanting to collaborate with him. And I had a lot of doors slammed in my face. And that doesn't feel good. Anyone in show business knows that. So, you know, and also, I feel similar to him. He went to my camp, right? That was the incubator for my talent, for my creative mindset. You know, I mean, it kind of changed. He's a lot younger than me, so he went after me. It kind of changed after I left. There were more rich kids after I left. You know, not a lot of famous people from my era, more from his era. I mean, like half a dozen from his era are now famous that I can think of, right? So, you know, I'm very jealous. If my parents were in show business, I'd be doing those things that I dreamed of as a kid. And I don't know if I'd be happier, but it's what I wanted for a long time. So, yes, I'm very jealous of this guy.
This may be the most jealous I've ever felt about a topic.
Wow.
And Noah, 291 recorded right. episodes.
We're getting there.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Who do you think was number one before this?
That's a good question. You know, I don't think anybody kind of like really attacked me. There's some filmmakers, there were some people who were proxy to comedy. I don't really, it's not sticking out to me. I mean, if I had to look through the list, but I mean, this sort of is a thumbprint of where I am now in my life in terms of the things that I do at this moment as I'm sitting in this chair in Amsterdam. You know, again, to talk about people in comedy, that's one thing that I haven't done that in a long while, but this is something this is like happening now. You know, the news is coming to you live from my attic office in Amsterdam. You know, it's like he kind of has everything I want, you know, and he had or has an express ticket to get more. As opposed, you know, by dint of either being born on second or third base, you know, if you want to call it that. Again, Nepo is not like his dad is, you know, Tom Chernin at Disney. It's not like the guy could just pull switches, but I think that you learn when your parents are in the business, what you wind up learning are the sort of shorthand, and you get encouragement to sort of be nearer to show business.
You also get an agent very easily.
Most likely,
you
yes.
get dad calling his buddy who you call uncle, yeah. and you have an agent.
Generally, yeah.
Like that's something.
That did not
that's
happen. Something. When I grew up in Farmingville and I went to
no, didn't,
Long Island University,
didn't happen to me.
Wasn't yeah. anywhere near those things and didn't even know that yeah. you could have that. So, yeah, I mean, obviously, I think the reason why this is being discussed is because there's an intense dagger of jealousy that's sticking out from between my shoulder blades. But Noah, let's conclude this by ranking Griffin Newman. If you put this on the Flonian scale.
I love a knife, a dagger sticking in your shoulder blade. So Griffin Newman stabbed you in the back. You were betrayed by this guy who's never heard of you.
A poisoned dagger. The slow blade penetrates the shield. So where does this right. fall in the ranking of XYZ?
So I thought of someone we talked about several years ago, sort of an episode about a person and just like what they represent in our media. So I thought of Aubrey Plaza.
Okay.
And then I multiplied her by Nepo Babies. And by the way, every time I write Nepo Baby in my notes thing here, it autocorrects to Repo Baby.
I don't want to know what that means. Yeah.
Yeah, Repo Babies, the Saturday morning cartoon adaptation of the Alex Cox film. Repo Baby.
Baby Harry Dean Stanton.
Baby Harry Dean Stanton. Baby Emilio Estevez.
Oh, boy, I'm not interested in a plate of shrimp today. Oh, shucks.
Right. So Aubrey Plaza times Nepo Babies, Repo Babies. plus one half of, do you remember a previous topic where I said these guys are so unmasculine, but they're not gay, and I find it annoying?
Was that Smosh? Who was it?
No, it was my brother, and me.
Oh, that's right. Those guys.
Yeah, Griffin Newman is fucking, you know, he's Orson Welles compared to my brother, and me. So I'm going
to
say
John Candy doing an Orson Welles impression compared to it.
Has that happened?
Yeah, look on
YouTube. Did that happen?
Oh, yeah, look on YouTube.
That sounds awesome. Yeah. I want to see that. Okay, so Aubrey Plaza times Nepo Babies plus 1/8. My brother, and me plus another 8.439.
Yeah.
And you arrive at, what's his name again? Oh, Griffin Newman.
Okay.
Already forgotten.
I have a strange calculus, and the funny thing is, I'm going to loop in something that was personal to you for the point of this. Look, even I've been in a lather about this guy. Like I said, I'm trying to be generous and separate the man from the job and the persona and all this stuff. I still want to grant a sense of scale across our grid, which would plot him in terms of expertise for me at about the Raina Telgemeier level. So the thing is, it's like, look,
we got to stop pretending that there's a personal connection between me and her.
But it has. We know people who know her, like they were colleagues of hers at SVA.
Yes. What I'm saying, and I have met her. Yes,
right. What I'm saying is that, look, if I knew her, like some of our friends either do or have had a connection, and you know, acknowledging what she does in her field, the level that she does it at, I would feel incredibly jealous while still able to acknowledge the level of her craft. And I think Raina Telgemeier is a different level. She has a different engagement with her craft. I think she's more recognized as being sort of a modern master, if you want to, for lack of a better term. I don't think Griffin Newman is quite at that level, but that strikes me as the sort of person we've talked about before, and the reasons, you know, some of the commonality in terms of the topic when it did come up. All right, everybody, if you want to find past episodes, again, we're going to take off next week, so try to find something from the, you know, play us quietly in your podcast as you fall asleep. It'll seem like we're still there on Monday morning when we're up a new episode, but it'll be a week's time before we come back. You can look on Apple Podcasts.
Or go back and listen to our old, that we have 290-something episodes. Yeah. There's plenty to go. Well, you know, unless you're one of our super mega fans, you could, there's plenty to dive into in the past.
Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, Google Play, tweet to us at Noah and Bill Show. Write to us, noahandbilldontgetit@gmail.com. Give us a review on the aggregators and other people can find the show too. Although that's not really happening. It's okay.
Come on!
At William Scurry on Twitter and Facebook and Insta and all these social networks and things like this. And YouTube.com/IamCaesar. That's where you'll find video stuff. And I've done recently, speaking of self-promotion, I was on Film 89 talking about Dune Part 2 with my friend Sky Wingfield. And I was,
how was it? Was it good?
It's excellent. 5 stars. Excellent.
Really?
Yeah, that's my thing.
5 stars. You got to do the Dune Minute podcast.
Somebody may have already done it. Yeah, they may already have.
Really?
It,
okay.
Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, no, and there Noah will tell you what movies he's watching and what podcasts he's guest starring on.
I recently saw American Fiction, which is excellent.
Yeah.
And I saw Argyle, which is all right.
I have the socks.
They spell it differently. My mother, I was wearing Argyle socks maybe 10 years ago. My mother's like, I really like how Argyle socks look on you. So she bought me a whole bunch. So every time I think of Argyle socks, I think of my mom. It's just such a random thing. Go to bigquizthing.com to learn about what I'm about. The finest in corporate and private trivia events, in-person, virtual, hybrid, nationwide, worldwide. Learn all about it at bigquizthing.com. Get a personal consultation, a personal demo, and let us help you make all your trivia dreams come true. Also, I'm going to give a plug for the volunteer group I've become very active in, Sister District Project. Go to sisterdistrict.org and learn all about how we are motivating people to get involved in 2024. Very important political process. We focus on state-level races, and this year my chapter in San Francisco is focusing on Arizona.
All politics are local, as you know.
Dark. Well, but state-level is, you know, that's where things happen, and that's where things change that really affect people's lives more than enough people realize. And your dollar goes farther when you donate or work on state-level races. So we're focusing on Arizona. Other chapters are focusing on Pennsylvania and Nevada. But just, you know, one way or another, get involved, because this is a critical year and, you know, America needs us. So, sisterdistrict.org, learn about it, or just, you know, find your own way to to contribute this year, especially, but, you know, whenever you can.
So until the next episode, where we find out which one of me and Noah gets called on to do the voice of Snarf on the big budget Thundercats reboot.
We don't get it.
An American Caesar Enterprises production 2024.